Vayakel might strike us as being less exciting than other parshios in the Torah. We'll take a look in Mirtz Hashem now at two Rambans, one from the beginning of the first Aliyah and the other from the beginning of the second Aliyah, that together tap into some of the deep Ava and the very, very deep emotion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael that's at play in Vayakel. Because in Vayakel is where the Jewish people hear for the first time about the Mishnah. We, as learners of Chumash, got to hear in Trumot Tzadah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we got to be flies on the wall to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's at this point in Vayakel, where after the entire story of the Egel HaZav, and the Shviras Haluchos, and Hashem Hashem Karachum V'chanun, and the Tshuva, and the second set of Luchos, and Moshe Rabbeinu's two or three trips up to Har Sinai that were recorded in Parshas Kisisa, now in Vayakel, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers together a kehila, lahakil. He gathered Jews as a group to teach them about Shabbos and Mishkan. Says the Ramban in the opening lines of Parshas Vayakel. As you notice, what does he call? We call it a Parsha, but we call it Parshas HaShavua, even though that's really not the most accurate term. A Parsha really is a paragraph in Chumash. What does Ramban call it?
Seder.
You talk about Mavra Sedra. That's because the many that we showed, Rabban included, refer to the chunk of Chumash that you lay over the course of a week as a Seder. Vayakel Moshe is called Adas B'nei Yisrael. Yichlol call Adas B'nei Yisrael Ha'anashim V'Hanashim. The first thing that Rabban is sensitive to is the language is exceptionally inclusive. Rosh Hashanah is Makhil Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. He gathers the entire aid of the Jewish people into a kehila. Sounds like he's a big tent. He's including everyone. What's the stress? The truth is there's a medrash that's somewhat famous. Points out on these psukim. Maybe it's a Shmos Rabba, I don't remember for sure. It's a Tanchuma, I don't remember for sure. And one of the classic midrashim on this pasuk points out that this is the only place in all of Chumash where you hear this verb, lahakil. Every once in a while you'll find it in Chazal. And Chazal is also rare. In Chumash it's a hepik flagamani. It's the only time that you hear lahakil, that Moshe is makil the people. Vayakel Moshe. The makhelos baruch Hashem, later in the Tanakh. But certainly in Chumash, and I think as a verb, it's maybe the only time in all of Tanakh. You hear? I'm sorry?
The idea of the mitzvah.
Ah, that's a good point. There appears as a tzivoy. This is the only time that Moshe Rabbeinu is described. Or to be more precise, I appreciate that you're right. It's not a true hepik flagamana. It's not the only time the word appears in Chumash. Not in the Tanakh, not even in Chumash. That's a good point. It is, however, the only time that a parsha in the Torah, literally a parsha, is introduced rather than with a vayomer or vayidaber or an emor with a vayakel. So what's pshat? The Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu is modeling for Jewish leaders, for rabbanim in future generations, that you have to be makil kehilos berabim. You have to have a group shiurim specifically in the context of Hilchos Shabbos. And the Medrash goes on to say that the Gemara talks about the Maseches Megillah by the idea of Hilchos Pesach v'Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres v'Atzeres, Hilchos Chag v'Chag, the special kiyum in having shiurim and learning in Yonei Diyoma of Yom Tov on the Yom Tov. So the Medrash here comments similarly about Shabbos. Vayakel is a model for teaching Hilchos Shabbos in groups on Shabbos. So that's part of the significance of Vayakel. The Ramban understands that at least the Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael is a reference to men and women alike. Hanashim v'Hanashim. And why here are we stressing it? He says, if you learn another couple of psukim, you'll find out. Ki kulam hisnagdu b'melachas ha-mishkan. We only laid the first Aliyah this morning, Thursday morning. You get into Sheni, and you hear the first Aliyah just presents Moshe Rabbeinu's pitch to the Jewish people, the fundraising pitch. He explains the need, we're going to build a Mishkan, the opportunity, and here are the ingredients that we need. In Sheni, you see Klal Yisrael's incredible response. And the Torah stresses both men and women. Ki chulam itznagdu b'melachas ha-mishkan. Both men and women were very involved in donating to the Mishkan. The matter of fact, it seems that the Ramban talks about this later in the in Vayakel. There seems like it was more the women than the men. So that's the Kol Adas Ben Ezra. And then the Ramban goes on to talk, take a step back, and he gets into this mode every once in a while. Over the course of the Pirush HaTorah, he wants to take a step back and figure out how all the chunks of Chumash fit together. Hine Moshe achar shetzivo l'aharon v'anisiyim v'chol b'nei Yisrael. He says, let's look at the wider swath of the second half of Chumash Shemos. We made reference to this earlier in the very beginning of Chumash Shemos, and this is where he's going to talk about how the second half of Chumash Shemos is sequenced. Moshe achar shetzivo l'aharon v'anisiyim, after Moshe commanded Aaron the Nisiyim, Kol b'nei Yisrael, ha'nashim, kol asher dibur Hashem ito b'har Sinai, acharei shibur ha'luchos, after the luchos were broken, and then he had gone back up on Har Sinai, and then he came back down, and then he began to talk to Aaron the Nisim and the Jewish people, and he puts a masva on his face. Where was that in Chumash? End of Kisisa, right? This is where Ramban is explaining where we're at. He says, these psukim of Vayakel, Moshe is about to teach them about Shabbos and Mishkan. This is following on the heels of what just happened. At the end of Kisisa, over the course of Kisisa, we saw the whole Egel Azav catastrophe. And then we saw the way things were fixed up and repaired. The tshuva of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu Mevakesh Rachamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, for the first time ever, a national kapara, embodied and captured by the palpably by a second set of luchos, mamish, another chance. He comes back down, and now he begins to teach Kalal Yisrael, and they were interacting with him. At the end of Parsha Kisisa, seems very awkward. He's at a distance. Remember the psukim say at the end of last week's sedra that his tent is away from the rest of the machana, and it was called the Ohel Moed. Interesting terminology. His tent is called, what the term is going to be ultimately for the Mishkan, it's going to be in the center of the Machane of Klal Yisrael. Initially, the first Ohel Moed that Klal Yisrael experienced is Moshe's tent, which is away from the Machane. And you want to connect more deeply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to see Gilui Shechina, you look there, you go there, and he's wearing his mask, the Nasan Alpanav HaMasra, which, as we know from personal experience, masks definitely create a sense of distance. Then, not that that was the purpose of Moshe's mask. The purpose of Moshe's mask, the Torah tells us, is that the Jews were not on the Madrega to be able to handle the Karan or Panav, the glow, the spiritual glow of his face. But all of these elements are creating a sense of richuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ohel Moed is chutz l'machane, Moshe is chutz l'machane, Moshe is wearing a mask. He has rules for when he, Chazal talk some more, based on the psukim. When he had the mask on, when he had the mask off. Whenever you wear a mask, you always have to have rules and regulations in order for it to work effectively. You have to have effective, appropriate rules and regulations. Then, the Rabban says, now you begin to appreciate what's going on in Vayakel. Chazar v'hekilu elakola edav. After the initial reconnection with Moshe, Moshe had been essentially absent for the better part of almost the entire preceding 120 days. Right? From Shavuos until Yom Kippur, Moshe was basically gone. He went up to Har Sinai on Shavuos, he came down on Shavuos B'Tamuz. What was supposed to be a marvelous, glorious day for Klal Yisrael very rapidly deteriorates into a horrible day. The first Shavuos of the Tammuz, the luchos are broken. the most heinous criminals are punished. The very next day, Moshe is back up on Har Sinai. 40 days comes down at the end of Chodesh Av. The next day, he's back up on Har Sinai, Rosh Chodesh Elul, and finally comes down with the second set of luchos in a totally different zone. Everyone's in a totally different zone. Yom Kippur, Baruch Hashem, we're going to hold on. We're still Am Hashem. We're still Am Lachas Konim. We're still the Am Sugula. But we're not 100% sure where we're at.
And Moshe is sort of on the side, and the Olamo is on the side, and Moshe is wearing a mask, and Kaiso are feeling very, not really sure where we're holding. We are connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu still. We're not connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu still. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invested in us. He's not invested in us. You remember that Parsha Kisisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu flowed the idea to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, Klai Yisrael will get Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going with them. I'll send the Malach. I'll send my staff. There's a lot of sense of potential rechuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the air. We're not really sure where we're holding in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The relationship, it took an incredible hit. We're trying to build it back, and we're not really sure where we're holding. This is a complicated dating process. Right? That Kol Yisrael is happening with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're trying to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We had a massive blunder, and we're not sure how successful we have been. We did some repair, but it's not super comfortable. It's not super close. Then, that's the initial return of Moshe Rabbeinu to planet Earth, literally, and to Kalal Yisrael. He's in, he's out, Karin Arpana, we can't handle it, we can't handle the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and the Shekhinah is at a distance. Then, everyone gathers together. After that initial sort of, we're not really sure where we're holding. Vayakel. Moshe Rabbeinu is gathering everyone. And everyone, as he said in the opening line, Kol Adasmen. So everyone's being gathered. The men, the women, the children, everyone. V'yitachein. When is this happening, he says. Because it's likely. Shahayezeh v'yom mocheros v'ritzo. It's entirely possible that Vayakel happens the day after Yom Kippur. He came down Yom Kippur the second set of Luchos. This might have been, and at that first day seems like it was Yom Kippur. Like Yom Kippur is a glorious day, and at the same time, we feel very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we feel very distant. And it's an awesome day in both senses. It's awesome, but it's also a lot of awe. So, but the very next day, Amar Lekulam Inyan HaMishkan. The very next day, he gathered Kol Yisrael and tells them, He shares with them the concept of Mishnah. Asher, and now here the Ramban gives his unique shita. Asher nitzdava bo mitchila kodem shibur aluchos. The idea of Mishkan, the Ramban says, Moshe had already heard about it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the luchos were broken. This is, as we discussed earlier in the year, this is Ramban l'shitasa, who understands that ein luktam u'me'ucher ba'torah. It is a principle of Masechet Pesachim, but the Ramban understands that, like Rashi, it's a very limited principle. Ramban understands that it's rare that the Torah presents things out of historical sequence. So unlike Rashi, who's willing to apply it much more broadly, as Rav Shavel points out in the footnote on the bottom, in the Be'urim on the bottom, Rashi, earlier in Kisisa, tells the way, look, Rashi understood that Kisisa happened before Truma Tzavet, that the whole Tziloi of Mishkan was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu on his second or third time on the mountain. After the luchos were broken, Hashem says to Moshe, now you have been attempted to Egel Azav, part of the kapara process is going to be you're going to need to build a Mishkan so you can bring karbanos, so you can get some kapara for all the chatam they did, all the mud that you got yourself in. That's the Rashi's approach. That we're applying a muktam from a Torah, and the events of Kisisa, Egel Hazav, happened before the events of Shumat Tzavah, namely Hashem telling Moshe about the Mishkan Big Dibuna. The Ramban, this is an important, specific Nafkamina in a broader methodological Machokas, the Ramban, the Chalal, assumes that a muktam from a Torah is a narrow principle, that it applies when the Torah makes it clear, gives dates. The example the Gemara gives in the Sefer Tzachim is that Bamidbar opens with Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and then Peretz in Baal Osra, where you hear about Karm Pesach, Pesach Sheni, opens with a date, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, a month earlier. Eight Prakim later, a month earlier, goes, oh, Eimuk Temuk HaBatorah. So Rashi says, oh, that means, that shows you that in general this happens all the time. Here the Torah made it clear by giving you dates. Rabban says, no.
The Gemara pointed out that every once in a while the Torah will tell you that it's going out of order, and that's it. But unlike Rashi, the Ramban is not prepared to apply it so liberally. The Ramban assumes the default is that the sequence in Chumash is chronological, is historical, unless otherwise specified. And therefore, coming back here, Ramban says, clearly Moshe had already heard about the Mishnah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is part of the original plan. As it goes back to the Hagdama of Ramban to Shmos. This is part of Mishkan, not just about Kabbalah, the Mishkan is about Geula. Mishkan is ideal. The Mishkan is a Hemshech, not a response to Kisisa, but a Hemshech of Yisro Mishpat. The Mishkan was meant to make the Geula Shechina, the Kirvus Elokim of Har Sinai, which was incredibly intense but totally temporary and ephemeral, the Mishkan was meant to make it permanent. Ramban says, Moshe heard about this before Kisisa. In other words, the first time he was on Har Sinai. Somewhere in between Bav Sivan and Yuzayin Tablets. This was part of the original ideal plan. The Mishkan, not exactly the same, but just at least as terminology, in various yeshivas there, Ba'aretz, there's often a debate that goes on whether Hezer is a Chatzilah or Hezer is Bidyah, which some have pointed out is like a very perhaps shallow way of thinking about it. Aaron pointed out, of course Hezer is B'dyavid. War is B'dyavid. We don't want to have war. Of course we don't want to have Esther. We don't want to need an army. Okay. So, but leaving that aside, it's a very nuanced issue, not for now, but just to borrow the terminology, there is, if you will, Machlokas Rashi Ramban, whether the Mishkan was L'chatfila or the Mishkan was B'dyavid. Rashi understands Ein Muktam Ruch HaBa Torah. The Mishkan's response is a fix to the chet of Egel Azav, and Trumat Tzav really happened after Kisisa. Ramban says, no, Mishkan Lechatvila. The Mishkan was always supposed to be. That Mishkan was shared with Moshe Rabbeinu during his first stay on Har Sinai. He would have shared it with the Jewish people on Yud Tes Tammuz, the day after he came down, except that he got sidelined by the horrific Egel Azav, and everything gets delayed by 80 days. But what should have happened, Yud Zayin Tammuz, Yud Ches Tammuz, happens instead, Yud Tesh Tishrei, Yud Al Tishrei. What's the significance of that? The Yitachain, once again, Shayez Deb Yom Ha'afar Shurito. Ramban said, I can't prove it to you. I think it's likely that Vayakel is the very first day after he comes down. The Amr Lekula Minyan HaMishkan, and he gathered all the Jewish people together, and he tells them about the concept of the Mishkan, which again, for Ramban in particular, is primarily about but they continue the closeness that we have in Ribono Sholom at Har Sinai. The Tzav Mitchila, he had originally been commanded about Mishkan, Kodem Shibra Lukha, true with the Tzav back before Kisisa. Kevan, so then what's the significance of him telling them now? Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is once again is Merutza, is desirous of relation with Kal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mamish, a second chance, a second set of luchos, the karsimo, bris chadasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu renewed the bris with Kal Yisrael at the end of Kisisa, where he reconfirmed sheyelech Hashem bekirba. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reconfirmed to Moshe Rabbeinu, despite the chen of Klal Yisrael, I will, there's still the Am Segul, there's still getting Eretz Yisrael, we're still on. Our relationship is still on. Hine chazar l'kadmusam l'avos klulasam. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood, you know what that means? It means we're back. We're back to the way things used to be. Chadei Shemen, he's obviously referencing two psukim here, the Ramban, where he says they returned to kadmusam and avos klulosam. The pasuk from Eicha and the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. And Zacharti Lach Chesed Nuraich Avas Kalulosayach. That Avas Kalulosayach, is that Yishai, not Yirmiyahu? Okay, thank you. I stand, we'll have to check. We'll have to check. Okay, we'll take a look. We'll take a look later. But remember what the Navi is talking about there. He's referring to this period of time. He's referring to Klal Yisrael. Kalos in the middle. I hear you telling the bottom. In footnote 3, Yirmiyahu, Beis, Avas, Kalulosayach.
So I think it's a reference to Eicha and to Yirmiyah. She says, that's mamash now. This is the obvious that they were newlyweds. That's what Yirmiyah describes. That Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael in the Midbar were newlyweds. It was newlyweds. We almost exploded everything at the very beginning. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, and Ramban is saying to you and I, appreciate, you think Vayakel is just Chazara. Appreciate the emotional significance of Vayakel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically for the Ramban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given Moshe Rabbeinu a whole plan, a whole vision for a Mishkan that was totally Mishkan Lechatchila, Hemshech Har Sinai, all positive and love. Karbonus that goes in Vayikra. But this is all about Vishachanti Besochem. And then we had a horrible falling out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You might think, it's off. You might have thought the whole relationship is over. Or you might have thought, the relationship is on, but it's going to be lukewarm. And that's the initial reaction, that initial impression that Klal Yisrael might have gotten. Moshe Rabbeinu was down, the second set of luchas. The luchas weren't as connected. This was Moshe Rabbeinu provided the stone. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the mechtav. It's not quite the same as the first one. Not, so to speak, as personal. That's a very bad metaphor. But Naz Duraki from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe's at a distance. And the masva and the hopes. We're not really sure where coming or going. For the Ramban, the fact that Klal Yisrael is still going to build a Mishkan is an incredibly powerful statement. Because the Mishkan was supposed to be all love, all positivity, and we still get the Mishkan. And over the course of Ayakel, the Torah makes it very clear that nothing has changed. All those details. You would have imagined that things would be a little more, you'll still have your Mishkan, but it's not going to be with all the bells and whistles. You'll have a Mishkan, it'll be toned down a little bit. Right? We're supposed to have this incredible... The couple was planning an incredible anniversary party. And then they had a terrible falling out, and the relationship took a major hit. Not sure what it's going to be. They get into counseling with a very effective, competent person. And Baruch Hashem, they patch things together. But it could look different ways. It could be that we're mamish totally recommitted, or we're not really sure. Are we still going to have that amazing 10th anniversary party that we're planning with all the bells and whistles, are sort of lost some of the excitement. We're back, but not really sure we're holding. Some of the excitement is drained away. Vayakel, all those details, every single detail of what was supposed to be is still going to be. The relationship is fully, there's nothing boring about knowing that Kadosh Baruch Hu as invested achar achet, as he was invested, Kodem Achet, Hashem Hashem, Kodem Achet, Achet Achet, that's Truman Vayakel. There's a lot, once you tap into the emotional perspective, there's a lot of meaning in all of the nitty-gritty details. Chazal Kadmusim Avos Kulosim, Uva Yadua Shetia Shechinasa Besocham. And now they know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is still going to live among them. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is still going to have to give a Gilui Shechina among Klal Yisrael. Ke'in she'tzivah u'tchila. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Ramban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu before the Chet Ha'Egel. Before the Chet Ha'Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'asli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. That was when everything was ideal. That was everything was picture perfect. But now we went through a tough time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're still going to have everything. L'chein tzivah u'sa Moshe Ata. That's why Moshe tells them everything now. The full package. Nothing's gone. The relationship is Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is as invested in you now as he was months ago. He's as invested in you now in Tishrei as he was back in Sivan. That's very, very powerful. That's very, very powerful. And it's a perspective on Vayakel. And I wanted to pair that with one other Ramban, and then we'll take some questions afterwards. Moving, as I said before, from the beginning of Rishon to the beginning of Sheni. The first Aliyah in Vayakel is Moshe Rabbeinu's presentation to Klal Yisrael. Shabbos, and we need volunteers for that, we need donations for the Mishkan, we're going to build the Mishkan, it's going to have the Olal and the Mishkan and the Mizbeach, he lists all the parts of the Mishkan, and he lists all the ingredients you're going to need. We're going to need Zav and Kesef and Nechoshes and so on and so forth. Then the Torah says, in the second Aliyah, you get to hear Kalal Yisrael's response. Here we are in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The first Ramban was on Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Aleph, and here we are 20 Pesukim later, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Every man who's, or every human, whose heart had raised him, Nisa'o Libo. What does that mean? It sounds very dramatic. What does it mean? Chachamim ha'osim b'mulacha. Rabban says this is a reference to the people. This is a reference to the people who want to actually do. Rabban points out there are two different groups of people who stepped up. There are people who stepped up to volunteer stuff, to write checks, in our language. People who are going to volunteer some gold and silver and some wood and some leather and so forth. The people writing the checks, those are the misnadavim. But he says nisao. Then you say nedivus. But we wouldn't say nisius hale. Nadva libo could be he's generous. He wants to give. Nisao libo. His heart raised him. That's someone who is volunteering to actually do the work. Now in modern Hebrew, a mitnadev is a volunteer. So that's where the language is a little bit different. But the Rabban is pointing out that in the language of the Tanakh, in biblical Hebrew, in Lashon HaTorah, Nadva Libo means that he's being misnadev, he's giving things. Nisao Libo means he's willing to volunteer time. He wants to actually show up and work on making the Mishkan. So the Rabban says, what are we supposed to learn from this? His heart raised him. An awkward type of phrase. Rabban says there's something very significant. Even for Jews like you and I, who live more than 3,000 years after these events occurred, even for Jews like you and I, who are not called upon and don't even have the opportunity to work on building a Mishkan, there's a lot for as the Gemara Megillah reminds us, in Daf Yudalid, the Gemara says, we've discussed this in the past, and it's important to Chazar, because this Gemara Megillah Daf Yudalid is arguably the most central tool, methodological tool that the Talmud Bavli gives us for learning Tanakh, for learning Chumash, for learning Tanakh in general, and that is that the Gemara points out, and now it's already we're within Shlosh Yom Kodim Purim also. The Gemara points out that the way the Gemara puts it, 1.2 million Nevi'im that the Jews had over the course of the 1,000 years of Jewish prophecy. Of the prophecy of the Jewish nation from Moshe to Malachi. According to the Seder Ola, Malachi, who was the last Navi, dies in the year 3448, near the beginning, in the early years of the Bayis Sheni, exactly to the year, exactly a millennium after Yetzias Mitzrayim and Mamad Har Sinai, which takes place in 2448. Over the course of that millennium, the Gemara says there were twice as Pishnaim Kiyotze Mitzrayim. Twice, 600,000 adult men leave Mitzrayim. Twice as many have nevuah. So whether that's literal, or that's just a way of saying a tremendous number, but there was a tremendous number. Tens, hundreds of thousands, maybe literally 1.2 million nevi'im over the course of that period of time. That's a lot of nevi'im, and that's a lot of nevuah. Even if most nevi'im only had nevuah once, that's a tremendous amount of material. The Gemara says Tanakh is so tiny. I mean, we look at Tanakh, it looks so big. But if you think about how big would Tanakh be if it recorded more than a million nevuos. It would be enormous. Tanakh is tiny. The Gemara says, what happened to all the nevuos? We haven't even heard the names of the vast majority of those Nevi'im, let alone to hear their nevuos. And the truth is, we're not sure that even the Nevi'im that we do hear about, and whose nevuos we do hear, we're not sure we hear all their nevuos. Oh, we have one parak of Avadia, 21 psukim, I think. That means he only had that one nevuah, lav dafka. He may have had many nevuahs, but only that one is recorded. Even Yeshaya, we have more than 60 prakim of Yeshaya. For all we know, he said 2, 3, 4, 5 times as much. We're only getting a percentage. So Gemara says, it's clear
that most nevuah is not recorded in Tanakh. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the Navi. It was authentic nevuah. It was clearly a relevant message. Why is it in the Tanakh? The Gemara says, yes, it was relevant for the audience at the time. Nevuah shlo hutzrich haladaros lo nichtava. If nevuah was necessary for that generation, but not for all generations, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the Navi to deliver to the Jewish people, because it was relevant to them, but lo nichtava, doesn't get recorded in Tanakh. Nevuah shlo hutzrich haladaros nichtava. If it was necessary not only for that generation, but for all generations, for you and I, so then it makes sense into the Tanakh. Which, if you invert that, it means everything that's in the Tanakh is Hutzrich haladaros. So I think we've discussed in the past, Rabag, his Pirush on Tanakh, actually took this all the way, and he, in addition to having a running commentary pasuk by pasuk on the psukim, he also will stop periodically every parak, every couple of parakim, and say, okay, so what are the eternal lessons that we've learned from the last section of Tanakh? Okay, we learned from the last section, we learned the following three lessons, the following 16 lessons, the following 33 lessons. At the end of Megillas Rus, he says there are 16 toalios that you learn from Megillas Rus. So it's really the way we ought to approach. It's a key methodological tool. How do you look at Tanakh with an eye towards every pasuk is teaching me something. It's telling me stories that happened once upon a time, messages that were said once upon a time, that have lessons for me now, and had lessons for my great-grandparents 100, 150 years ago, and 300 years ago, and 800 years ago. So what are we supposed to learn from the fact that it happens to be at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu advertised the Mishkan project to Kalal Yisrael, they responded, there were misnadvim who were giving things, and then the people willing to do the work were nisa'olibo. Their heart was raised. What does that even mean, to have an upraised heart? And why is that relevant to me? Take a look inside. The second line of this Ramban. Here, Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chaval. The Ta'am Asher Nesau Libo. Again, the Ramban used the word Ta'am not to mean reason, but to mean Pirush. What's the interpretation of that phrase, Asher Nesau Libo? L'karval HaMalacha, to come close to the work. Ki lo hayabahem shalomat. It's HaMalacha Za'ela. Mi Malamed. No Jew had learned any of these crafts from a teacher. They didn't have shops in growing up in Mitzrayim. As Rabban pointed out last week's parasha, talking about Rei Karasi Bishayim, about Bezalel, they worked, they did coarse construction. They worked with cement. They worked with bricks. No one took classes in fine carpentry, or in goldsmithing, or in gem cutting. And Omisha even made the other cloud. No, neither did they have any formal training, nor did they have any experience ever. But Moshe Rabbeinu announced to the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invested in us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, the next project is to further the relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to build this beautiful edifice out of precious metals and stones and wood and leather. And he describes all the parts, Es HaMishkan, Es HaOlos, Mechseyu, Krashav, Krasav, Mizbach, HaOla, the Mikvah, and so on and so forth. And the Jewish people are listening to this vision that the Moshe Rabbeinu is unfurling before them. And there were Jews who said, I think I can do that. To create a Mizbach, I have Nechoshas, and to perforate it, something tells me that I can make that happen. To make a big cloth tent that's going to be hooked together, that's going to be sewn, it's going to be woven, it's going to be embroidered. Something tells me that I can do that. I think I can do that. I've never done it before. But like Rabban says, there were Jews, they recognize, they never even thought about this before, but they hear about the Mishnah and say, oh, you know what? I think I have a chush for that. I think I have an aptitude for that. Vayigba libo b'darchei Hashem. A pasuk in Diriyam to which we'll respond. Their hearts were raised in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lavolof ne Moshe le'emolo. To come to Moshe to say, Ani ese kol asher aduni dader. I will do it. I'm ready to work. What's he saying? What's Rabban saying? He's saying there were Jews who had things that were ready to give things. And then there were Jews who felt, had the impression that they could do this work they had never done before. I could take on this task.
And remember, what's Ramban's? And they came to Moshe and they said, I'm ready to step up. Remember, what was Ramban's kasha? Or by the language of the Psukim? Or the here. What was the phrase? Unlike by the people giving things, people who volunteer their time, the Torah says, Nisa'o libo. What does it mean their hearts are raised? So what was his answer? His answer was, well, it means that they were stepping up even though they weren't sure they could do it. But they had the confidence to try. How do you know that's called a heart upraised? See, he references another passage that talks about an upraised heart. Not the Nisa'o libo, but Mayigbar libo b'darchei Hashem. That's where I had mentioned some kind of before, Shir started, probably one of the most yeshivish of psukim in Divrei HaYamim, if that's not an oxymoron. But this pasuk figures prominently in many of Musa Shmuz. His heart was high. His heart was upraised, Vayigba Libo, in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's Ramban telling us? He's telling us something important and practical for you and I. It'll help, perhaps, to look at that pasuk in the original context. It is towards the end of Divrei HaYamim. Here we are, Divrei HaYamim Vayis, Perek Yud Zayin, one of the great kings of Kalal Yisrael. Towards the latter half, midway or latter half, deep into the period of the Bayis Rishon, King Yehoshaphat is a king in the southern kingdom, Malchus Yehuda. He was a contemporary of King Achav, who was the king of the northern kingdom we just leaned about in the Haftarah. King Achav was an unusual Rasha. The Malchi Yisrael in general were Rishayim, but even among the Malchi Yisrael, Achav stands out as a Rasha among Rishayim. His contemporary, he was the king of the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael. Meanwhile, the king of the southern kingdom is the tzaddik, King Yehoshaphat. As you move on in the parak, we're not going to get there. Yehoshaphat makes a very terrible error, which doesn't impact him as much as it impacts the next generation, which is that inexplicably, he decides to do a shidduch with Achav. And his son, Yehoram, marries the daughter of Achav. So when Yehoshaphat passes away and Yehoram takes over, Yehoram is, to say that he was not the tzaddik that his father was, is a terrible insult to Yehoshaphat, because Yehoram, for starters, the first thing you hear about Yehoram is, oh, he has a whole bunch of brothers, all the sons of Yehoshaphat, and the father gave each one a property and gift. Yehoram is the king, and next thing you know, Yehoram practices fratricide. He kills out all the competition. He kills out all of his brothers to solidify his grip on power. And the psukim can make it clear, he had married Achav's daughter. He had married Izabel's daughter. To say that his wife was not a healthy, holy, moral, positive moral influence would be an understatement. Yes. So Yehoshaphat's legacy is not going to do as well. Yehoram is not going to follow at all in the ways of Yehoshaphat. But during the lifetime of Yehoshaphat, things are in a very, very good place. The Navi gives Yehoshaphat tochacha at one point, because Yehoshaphat actually goes to war together with, not against, together with his mechutan Achav. They go to war against Aram, or at least begin to engage Aram together. And afterwards, the Navi tells him, you shouldn't have even started. Yehoshaphat had insisted on hearing from a Navi Hashem. He had done it well, but he shouldn't have even gotten involved with Achav whatsoever. Okay? And Yehoshaphat is makabel tochacha, and he turns around, and he ignites more learning and more growth among Kalal Yisrael. But even from the outset, before this whole episode with Achav, the psukim open, Perek Yizayin, and Devar Yavim Beis, that Yehoshaphat takes over his father Asa, and Vayhi Hashem im Yehoshaphat, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Gimel, Ribbono Shel Olam with Yehoshaphat, Ki Halach B'Darchei David Avo HaRishonim, V'lo Darsh LaBaalim. He was not swayed by the Avodah Zarah of Baal. You remember from the Haftar we just leaned that Achav was very invested in the Avodah Zarah of Baal. That was the whole showdown in Har HaKarmel between Eliyahu, who was Navi Hashem, versus all the hundreds of Navi HaBaal and Navi HaSherah. So up north, in the northern kingdom of Eretz Yisrael, Baal is rampant. In the southern kingdom, Malchus Yehuda, Yehoshaphat is holding strong against Baal. He's following the proper ways of his great-great-grandfather, David HaMelech. Ki lo kei aviv darash,
v'mitzvosav halach v'lo kemaaseh Yisrael. He was not allowing Malchus Yehuda to behave the way Malchus Yisrael was behaving. He stuck to Ribono Shalom, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayachan Hashem Zalam Lachim Yado. In return, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yehoshaphat a very, very strong, robust hegemony. He has a strong, stable government. He has wealth. He is now called Yehuda Minchel Yehoshaphat. Malchus Yehuda is unified. They're all giving tribute to Yehoshaphat. The whole Malchus Yehuda, the whole southern kingdom, is united under King Yehoshaphat. Vehila Osher v'Chavod L'Rav. Plenty of money, plenty of kavod. He's living at large. And what would you expect? Oftentimes, when a person has a lot of money and a lot of kavod, yeah, it goes to his head. It goes to his head. Not when you forget the Ribono Shel Olam. And even before that, you become a Bal Gaiva. You're machzik tova liatzma. And it's incredibly impressive. It's unusually impressive. It's impressive that anyone's an anav. But it's even more impressive when there are so many factors that could have made someone a person a Bal Gaiva, there's so many factors that could have caused a person to put himself in the center and displace HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the center. And a person nevertheless keeps Ribono Shel Olam in the center. That's very impressive. A person has so much wealth and so much fame, and it could so easily go to his head, and he makes the decision not to. Wow, that's a Yehoshaphat moment. And how does the pasuk describe it? Our pasuk, Vayigbar libo bedarchei Hashem. His heart was gavoa. His heart was upraised in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he continues to work on improving the ruchnius in Eretz Yehuda and eradicating the avodah zarah in Eretz Yehuda. What does that mean? Vayigbar libo bedarchei Hashem. Let's take a look at three mefarshim on the page. Number one is Rashi. Yigba libo darkei Hashem, gavah libo b'davar zeh. His heart was high. His heart was upraised. It was gavoa. His heart was tall, literally. Shelo halach ki im b'darkei Hashem. He only did that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. There was no, unlike what we just learned about, unlike in the north, where Elio is saying to the people, there's too much secretism here. Absolutely. You're making a whole challenge about Kadosh Baruch Hu and Baal. What, on Shabbos you go to Shul, on Sunday you go to Baal Church? What is this? So in the north, that was a big problem. Rashi says, Yehoshaphat, Vayig Baliv Adarach Hashem, his heart was tall with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning only Ribono Shel Olam. And you'll notice Rashi sends you to our Pasuk, Asher Nasa Liba No Son of B'chachma. Rashi is ready making the connection that Ramban makes. So for Rashi, Vayig Baliv Adarach Hashem means he was exclusive to Ribono Shel Olam. The Gra. What? The Gra writes, "Vayigba liba b'darche Hashem, ki ha'mizgoe b'darche Hashem, mis'ameit lahosif kalpam." If a person has pride in the Ribono Shel Olam, a little bit of azus de kedusha, so then I'm going to have the strength to keep growing. So the Rambah for Rashi, "Vayigba liba" means he was God exclusive. For the Gra, it means he took pride in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was proud. This takes us back to Aruch Chaim Siman Aleph. Opening lines of Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. The Jew needs to be proud of what he believes in. There'll be times when you're in a situation of positive social pressure. There'll be times when you're in a situation of negative social pressure. And as the Gra points out, that was Yehoshaphat. Unlike Rashi, who's focusing on Yehoshaphat, was Hashem only. The Gra says the point is Yehoshaphat was so proud of his of being connected to Ribono Shel Olam that gave him the strength to be unlike what was going on to the north, because the psukim keeps stressing this wasn't like what was going on in Malchus Yisrael. He's focused on Ribono Shel Olam. There's no Baal. Where do you have the strength to resist the social pressure? Achav was an incredibly powerful king. Achav under Achav, Malchus Yisrael was a world superpower. They were a major player in international geopolitics. And Malchus Yehuda was the smaller kingdom to the south. Not as important, not as chashev. And it must have been hard when the cool kids on the block are all doing Baal,
and you're going to be like the scrawny little kid who's going to shul and doing mitzvahs, that takes a lot of guts. And the Gra said, that's right. He had such pride, such an azus to Kedusha in the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that gave him the strength to resist the temptation of peer pressure. And finally, the Rabbah. But Yigbar Liba Badarche Hashem at the bottom of the page. Ratzal Omer. Shegava Ritzono Ma'od Lahafli Lalechas Badarche Hashem Isbar. His will was very high to unbelievably go in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lezeh Yisir Mashinishra Me'abamos HaShem Me'Yehuda. He, as the Pesukim go on to say, he's ready to eradicate all the bamos, eradicate all the remnants of Asherah. He's ready to teach Klal Yisrael, at least the Klal Yisrael who are part of Malchus Yehuda, who are within his realm sphere of influence, about the Ribon Shalom, about Torah Laman Yachaziku B'Bnei Amo. So while Rashi understood Vayigba Liba means he was dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu exclusively, and the Gra understands Vayigba Liba means he had such pride in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he maintained his standard. Rabbah seems to be saying, I think, like our Ramban back in Seder Vayakel, which is that it means that he had a Yigbal Liba Badarchi Hashem, he had the confidence to do extraordinary things. Gava Ritzono Ma'od Lahafli Lalechas Badarchi Hashem Isbar. Gava Liba, unlike the Gra, it's not a question of Gaiva. But it's he had such extraordinary confidence and such extraordinary will to do amazing things. That's exactly, I think, what the Ramban is saying here. Nisa'o libo is like the Yigbal Liba Badarchi Hashem. Here, and the Ramban says, what's the point? It's that here are people. It's not only, as Rashi said, that they were dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That certainly has to be. But that's not enough. Not just dedicated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They believe that they could do wild things. Now, Ban says, here are Jews who never touched gold in their lives. I mean, maybe they saw on their Egyptian overlords wearing gold and gems. They never had the chance to touch it, let alone to work with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking of them, it seems like, you know, unthinkable. You want us to build you a Mishkan? We have no idea how to do that. And here are Jews who said, not every Jew, but they're Jews who nasa libo. Their heart picked them up. They said, I'm going to give it a try. I think I can do it. I think I can do this. And I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to give it a try. That's why Yigba Liba B'Darchei Hashem, says Ramban. Sounds a lot like Rabban. Yehoshaphat was willing to do wild things. This was not what was in fashion. To raise the level of learning for Klal Yisrael. Or if I should say for Bnei Yehuda. Because Yisrael in the north was anything but growing in their learning. They were growing lots of other ways. They were growing a lot of Asherah trees up north.
We were off the
deck. Yes. To say that I'm going to... I have a vision for what Bnei Yehuda could look like in a couple of years from now. That's like so ambitious. And we're gonna go give it a try. That's what Yigbal Liba B'Darchei Hashem. That's... And as we said before, to wrap back to where we started, Nevuah Shehutzra Chaladaras Nichtava. If it's in the Chumash, that means it's relevant for us also. What's the relevance in that there? Some Jews gave money and some Jews gave time. It's true in general that every organization is going to need people who give money and people who give time. That's true. But it's much more than that. It's and you might say, well, at this point in my life, I'm not in a position to give money. I'm not necessarily in a position to give time to an organization. Forget about that. Nasa libo. To believe that you can do more than you think you sometimes you can do. To believe in yourself. To have confidence to try radical goals. To try ambitious goals. To not be stuck in like, I just can't do this. I'm an Eved. Once an Eved, always an Eved. I could do, you know, I could work with bricks and more. That's about it. That's all. That's the entirety of my wheelhouse. My wheelhouse doesn't extend beyond what I know I've already done. No. It's going to play out differently in your life and my life than it did 3,500 years ago in the Mishkan, but the concept is the same. A lot of times we think that here are certain things, that there are things I'm good at and things I'm not good at. I'm already 16, 17, 18 years old, and I know what I can do. We might not say that to ourselves, Pemale, but if you stop and listen to the self-talk going on in your head, often that's what you'll hear. Like, I know I'm good at this, I'm not good at that. Sometimes we whisper the second half to ourselves. Like, I know I'm good at this. But most of the time I say, I'm not good at that. I tried it once, it didn't work. Or maybe I never even tried it, but I never tried it. I know this is my comfort zone. I know that I'm good at doing this type of mitzvah. I know that I'm good at doing this type of learning. I know that I'm good at doing, I'm successful at this, and that's comfortable, and that's great. It's great that you know where you're strong. It's great that you know strength that you have already discovered. But it's dangerous to assume that the only strengths that you have are the ones that you have already discovered. If our great-great-grandparents had that attitude 3,300 years ago, we would never have gotten a Mishkan. Or they would have tried building a Mishkan out of bricks and mortar, because that's all, it would look like the pyramids, because that's all that they knew. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people a vision of something they're going to build that they could never imagine having built. We're going to build something out of gold and silver. All those psukim that I was pumping through this morning, the laning, think about what it sounded like to the original audience. We're going to make what? What are you talking about? We are going to make a mishkan with fine textile and wood and gold and silver and copper. What on earth? This is like, it sounded totally unrealistic. We can't do that. And indeed, many Jews said, okay, I can't do that. I'm glad to write a check. I can't do the work, but I'm glad, I have some gold, I'll give you gold. But there were Jews who said, not just Nedivus Halev, not just they were generous with their stuff, but Nesias Halev. Their heart was upraised. Meaning the Rabban says, like Yehoshaphat, that you believe with Darach Hashem, and I think the Rabban is very aligned with Rabban. They believe, like, I think I could try this. It's crazy. I never did this before. Maybe I tried it and it didn't work. Maybe I never even tried it at all. I didn't assume this was in my wheelhouse, but let's give it a try. The confidence to say, I'm going to be ambitious, in Baruch Hashem. I'm going to believe in myself, I give it a try. What's the worst that'll happen? The worst that'll happen, I'll show up, and I'll mess up the goal. Okay, and we'll start again. And guess what? The end of the story is, a few months later, the Jewish people had a Mishkan, which was A, gorgeous, architecturally accurate, and B, it worked. Because at the end of Pikudei, a Rosh Hashanah moves in. So we're not always, we don't live in a time of Nisim Gluyim. So we're not necessarily, we don't anticipate seeing, you know, that if I have an Asiyas Halev moment and I seize the opportunity, I don't anticipate seeing, you know, the Anan of the Gilui Shechina appearing a few months later. It's not going to be as obvious. But it's often true that later on, first you start, and you know, go on a limb and try something. I'm not really sure I can do this, but you know what? Something tells me I should give it a try. I'm not going to ignore that voice within. I'm going to give it a try. And maybe I don't succeed at first. Shavu Yipotzak will come, but I keep at it. And weeks later, years later, I have something to show for it. Look what I've accomplished. It may not be a Gilui Shechina to Galui, leaving a time of Nisan to start. But there's more Hatzlacha than I could have imagined possible. So these psukim are incredibly, incredibly, incredibly practical. You can believe with Darchei Hashem, Sai, the single-minded focus on Rebbe Shalom, that Rashi speaks about, Sai, the Azus de Kedusha that the Gras speaks about, and certainly the belief in yourself to try radical goals and ambitious visions that the Rabbah speaks about there, the Ramban speaks about here, but we should all seek to be magibia libeinu b'darchei Hashem, to believe in ourselves more than we really do.